praise Him. That's all I want to say. That's what we need to say. Then we're set enough. Thank you for that beautiful singing. Thank the youth choir for their wonderful singing. The band, as always, and the musicians. Thank everyone. And Brother Randy, although we don't have to don't have the ability to have a choir anymore, look what a choir you've got. Now, we sometimes grumble and complain that things aren't just exactly like they are. And then the Lord reminds me, be thankful for what you got. Usually on Sunday morning, I'm trying to adjust my hearing aids or my ears, sometimes the mask, the glasses, and the microphone. And I say, God didn't design ears to carry that much. But then I say, hey, I need to see. I've got glasses. I need to hear. I've got hearing aids. And I need to speak loudly, so I got microphones. Thank God. What's to complain about? Normally when the Lord wakes me up at night, I go to the living room and I took a compass out and found out which way to look toward Washington, D.C. And there I take that position and I pray and seek God's face. And if I'm fortunate while I'm praying, not only do I speak to God, but He speaks to me. And one night this week, after I prayed, He said, go take your Bible, I want to show you something. I love it when God does that for me. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Job. We have a baptism at the close of the service today, and thank God for that. So I'll try to be as brief as I can. And God showed me His, of course, overall providence. He's over the affairs of man. And one thing we as people need to learn more about is their heart. We don't know much about it. God says, no man knoweth his heart. But there's indications and there's things in the Word of God that directs us and helps us know about their heart. God speaks many times His Word and shows us the faults of others. So we can say, hey, if that's the fault of theirs, it's the fault of mine. So sometimes He shows us people's likes and dislikes. Sometimes He shows their attributes. We can learn from all of these. So in the book of Job, chapter 1, we're going through and try to, the title of the message is Understanding More About Our Hearts. Well, we need that this morning. And the book of Job does exactly that, among other things. And then the very first verse, we learn quite a bit about man's heart. Verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and that feared God and eschewed evil. What a testimony. So I began to look, you know, exactly what, if you have a perfect heart, God's going to judge you, not us. And he feared God and he eschewed evil. And he was a perfect. That's what God said about him. And let's listen to what God said about him. So the word perfect means complete, whole, sound, entire, lacking nothing. God doing the judging and says, that's my man Job. And then he used the word upright. That means to stand firm, be established, not be waving with the winds like the winds of the sea, driven with the winds and tossed. So he said that that man is perfect, he's sound. He uses the wisdom that I gave him. He stands upon it. And then one of the most favorite parts of it is he feared God, which means he reverenced God. He had a great esteem of how great God was. He honored and respected God and wanted to do everything to please him and never, ever do anything to displease him. We'll deal much this morning about the word eschew evil. It means to put it away. Don't think about it. Don't associate with it. And when evil is presented to you, don't let it entrap you. And now Job has been classified by God. I want to look at three things this morning. First of all, we see Satan doesn't like that. And God loves that. When a man is judged by God and he is esteemed highly in God, and God blesses him. We read about his blessings, richest man of the East, well respected. He helped the poor. He was one faithful to judge the things the right way, and it seemed as though the whole country was going to Job. What do you think about this? Well, I don't know what I think, but I'll tell you what I think God thinks. That's what's important. Then Satan comes up, and Satan now is a devourer. He doesn't like the fact that you and I sometimes, hopefully many times, draw close to God. He tries to prevent that. He tries to determine that we won't do that, and he'll bring anything. He has a great arsenal of tools. Remember, he was the one that in a perfect garden where God had created man, Adam and Eve, he convinced Eve that God had not really meant what he said. So through the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, he deceived Eve, and that was in the perfect world. So he, I don't want to give him credit, but he is an enemy of our souls. He is an enemy of the relationship you and I have with our Lord Jesus Christ. So as this enemy, now God knew Jacob all along, or Job all along. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And sometimes when we're tested and tried, we get even closer to God. The trials of our faith have been much more precious than the gold that perishes. So God allows trials, temptations to come our way. And during the course of them, of course, they're detrimental. We don't like them. But God says, therefore, praise and glory, that we can learn that he will be with us during these trials. So I want to look at the devices, and first of all, the advocate and the old accuser of our soul. Let's look at his game plan, because he has a game plan for you, he has a game plan for me. And this game plan he has now is to do something, and he has a full arsenal of things that he can throw our way to cause us, in his opinion, to deny God. That's what he wanted. God, only reason Job serves you is because you bless him, but if you take the blessings away, he'll curse you. So he tries. And God gave him permission. God says, he is in your hand. Now, you can take anything he's got, his possessions, but you can't touch him. So Satan started. Let's look how he started. Chapter 1, verse 13 through 19. We won't read those verses. We'll just kind of look at the highlight. But now, Satan has death and destruction in his arsenal. He causes death, if God permits it, death to and destruction. He tears down, he destroys. Satan is a devourer. He subtracts and divides. And God, on the other hand, adds and multiplies. Doesn't take me very long to determine which one side I want to be on. One that adds to my life and blesses my life and multiplies the blessing. So Satan now, he puts it all together, his game plan. And on a certain day, when Job's children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, were assembling themselves together and having a feast. And of course, Job's praying for them and sacrificing for them because he's afraid that someone will sin and not get forgiveness. So Job is always, when they're feasting, he's always praying and sacrificing for his children. It's a good lesson. That shows his integrity. That shows his fear. How he eschews evil. And he's perfect and upright in heart. And he feared God. Now he's doing that. But now Satan has permission from God to bring death and destruction to the things of God. And on a certain day he had all planned. As 500 yoke of oxen that he had, 500 she asses, and all the servants. Can you imagine how many servants you have to be plowing in the field with 500 yokes of oxen and the 500 she asses are grazing along the side? It takes a lot of servants. So Satan struck that particular day and arranged it with the Sabaeans to come and slay all the servants with the sword and steal all the oxen and all the she asses. And only one person was not killed, and that person was able to go give that awful report to Job. If he had lost nothing else, the death and destruction for a lot of people would have caused them to stop serving God. But he realized he's got to do a lot more than that to go Job to bow and say anything bad about God. So at the same time, he had the power now to bring fire from heaven that burned up 7,000 sheep. And now all the servants that were guarding. Can you imagine how many servants it takes to corral and take care and shear and take care of 7,000 sheep? Well, all of them were slain by the fire and burned except one. Just one. He spared just one so he could go and give the terrible report to Job. Now, two bad things have happened, but he's got more in his arsenal because he is the author of death and destruction and the father of lies. So he arranges at the same time all this happened, at the same time, because Job owns the oil land, three bands of Chaldeans, and they carried away 3,000 camels. And can you imagine how many servants there are that's taking care of those 3,000 camels? And every one of them was slain except one. Just one to go give the awful report to Job. You've lost your cattle, your oxen, you've lost your sheep. But now realize that's all that I can do, and it'll take more. I have permission from God to bring death and destruction, and it's at its full force. So now he calls a wind to come upon the house where the seven sons and the three daughters are assembling, having their feast. And the wind blows the house down and kills all the children. So he's lost his children. He's lost everything. A master of death and destruction. But I want to read a verse of scripture or two in the 20th and 20 through the 22nd verse, that Job is not going to let the devil's devices deter him, distract him. Now, this is for you and me, too, because Satan has those same devices, if God gives him permission, to bring them against you and yours. But the determination you and I have to have, no matter what devices he has or he uses that God gives permission to, as for men have, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Listen at Job's comments after he had received all this bad report. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. I worship God no matter what, no matter what Satan does. Nothing can disappoint me in my Lord. He's done so much for me. All the material possessions. I worship, I adore, I lift up my voice. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. See, God's the one keeping the records. He's doing the writing. He is authorizing, and he is telling the author of the book what. And God's in the judgment, and he said Job did nothing foolish, and he did not bring any charge against God, but he worshiped God. So death and destruction from Satan's standpoint, with all the arsenal that he had upon the products and the people around Job and all his possessions, had no effect on Job thus far. Satan isn't finished yet. He has more in his arsenal. So he dares now to bring a charge to God against Job. Yeah, he's lost his possessions. But if you touch his body, if you allow me to touch his health and bring his health down, let thistles grow instead of wheat and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. I can't take any more. I won't say any more. I have come to the conclusion of the matter within my heart. And the friends spoke no more either. There was three friends. But see, at the same time there was Job, Satan was out there, of course, observing. God was on the throne. We have looked at the advocate and the old accuser's devices. We've looked at the abundance of the heart. The mouth will speak. And Job says, I've spoken, I will speak no more. But this is what God says. Let's look lastly an analysis from God. Even though we see things and we understand a little bit of what we see, God makes the final analysis. He's the one that permitted all this, and it's all about the heart. Job, at the end of this, will understand more about his heart. Has he done a good job being that perfect and upright man? His integrity shone through with flying colors when he said, I don't care what Satan's done and destroyed all my stuff. My integrity says I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to be pushed aside. I'm going to worship my God. He still feared God. But it was really hard for him, and it would have been harder for you and I, I'm sure, to push back the words. Listen to what God said in Job chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job. You say, did God say that? Well, God wrote the book. God allowed someone to write the book. And this is the conclusion. Because he was righteous in his own eyes. It didn't say because the three friends thought he was righteous. And so the Bible says, and God says, Job was righteous in his own eyes. Pushing, shooing evil caused him to have that self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is a lack of our ability to push back evil because it's evil. God says, no flesh shall glory in my sight. And in defending himself and bragging about his God, he had allowed those words to create within his heart self-righteousness, which is a sin. God has done the analysis. Even though his heart was perfect, even though he feared God, even though his stand was upright, unmovable, we're not perfect. And in this world, we can, if we're not very careful, allow Satan to do the same to us, to cause us to have that feeling of rightness when no flesh or glory is sight, and our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Let him be glorified. So let's look farther in closing at this analysis God gives about the whole matter. It's his judgment. In chapter 38 of the book of Job, God's going to do some speaking now. He's been silent, although he's heard and seen everything that's been said. Now, God will be silent no more. He's going to let Job know and the three friends know his analysis, his full conclusion of the whole matter of the conversations, which has allowed that self-righteousness to creep in, which is a sin. Then the Lord, chapter 38, answered Job out of the whirlwind. Isn't that amazing? God speaks from the whirlwind. He speaks to men by intellect. As God's never spoken to me audibly. He could, but I'm really thankful that he speaks to my intellect because, see, I wear hearing aids. And I go around all the time, repeat that, please. But when God speaks to my heart, I never have one time had to say, Lord, would you repeat it again? I understand fully. So God's speaking now out of the whirlwind. We can't understand all that. He's never spoken to me out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee and answer thy me. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if I have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if I know it? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted joy for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness swaddling band for it. Job, you spoke a lot about me. And later on he says what you spoke was true. but you have allowed during the process that righteousness within yourself that was unrighteous to come forth. And your friends got tired of hearing it, and I surely got tired of hearing it. So we've seen how the accuser, how Satan has blinded the eyes, and how Satan has lied. He has destroyed and brought death, but it did not cause Job to waver. But God allows Satan to keep on using his arsenal sometimes. And in this case, he had the ability to bring those three friends to cause them to speak untruths that caused what he was really looking for. He really thought, Satan did, that when he has to endure all the suffering from the boils and the three, he'll look to you and curse you face to face. But see, God knew he wouldn't do that. Yeah, he had unrighteousness, self-righteousness, but God knew, hey, if God saves you, it's an impossibility for you to look in God's face and say anything about him. You might complain about circumstances. You might complain, but a child of God, and Job was clearly a child of God, God knows that none of us that's truly born again will ever be able, no matter what Satan does or what God allows Satan to do, none of us will ever be able to accuse God of anything. The only thing that Job had wrong is self-righteousness. He did not do that to take righteousness away from God purposely, but at the same time it caused him to look at himself higher than he should have been, which God says is wrong, is a sin. But now God's doing the judging, and God's going to bring judgment upon the whole matter. And hurrying, we're looking at the circumstances, and we're looking at the analysis from God. Let's look at chapter 40, and we'll be closing. God's still speaking. Got a lot to say. When I pray, I don't run out of words, and I know God's hearing. It really pleases me when I just be still and let God speak to my heart. He's got a lot more to say, far more important than anything I'll ever say. So be careful when you pray. Always allow God. God's got plenty of time, but sometimes we don't take the time. I've prayed, I've interceded, I've done what you wanted me to do, Lord. Be still and know God's got some things to say to you. And those things will make eternal difference in you. Listen while God's still speaking. Job's still listening. Chapter 40. Then answered, verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man, I will demand of thee and declare that to me. Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? See, he's still letting Job know that you've done all these things. Yeah, you had a lot of excuses, you know. Satan's devoured and destroyed, and destruction's come. And I know your situation, Job. I permit it. I know it. But this righteousness that has come up within you has to be dealt with. Look at that verse again. Verse 8. Will thou also disannul my judgment? My judgment is perfect. Check. Upright. Check. Fear God? Yes. Eschew evil? Evil is thinking yourself higher than you ought to be and taking any righteousness away from God to yourself. And will you still stand and disallude my judgment where I have pointed out to you as he did in verse 1 of chapter 32? Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? You still have that in you, Job. You're in your heart. You desire to be righteous. That's a major sin in many of our lives. Trying to let the world know. He, in his case, wanting those three friends, and even the fourth young man that came forth, that did a lot of speaking on the last, that I let the elders speak, but I can't take any more. So he started. And God never, ever condemned this fourth man. He condemned the first three. But he did not condemn the young man that spoke lastly. So God now is wanting some attention from Job. And Job comes to the scene and asks forgiveness. I have spoken and I've been wrong. You know that's all God wants to hear from me and you. Forgive me, Lord, I've done wrong. We ask forgiveness, and how many times have we ever said to God, Lord, if I felt wrong, forgive me. Lord, if I did that, I should forgive me. If? God says, how long are you going to be this allowing my... You're righteous, Job. You're trying to be righteous when you're not. When are you going to confess it? And that's God's question to you and I this morning. Would to God I was upright, perfect, and fear God as Job did. Would God I had even the ability to eschew, push away, think no evil, not let evil that's out there cause me to be right. I want that characteristic. And if you want it, God will allow us to have it. Would you stand this morning, your head bound? Job confessed he got right with God. But the only way he was going to let those three get right with God is for them to have Job pray for him. See, the faithful, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And now that Job had got forgiveness for his self-righteous, God allowed him and imputed him with righteousness. So he, for his prayers, he prayed for his three friends. No matter what they had done, they had brought shame, they had brought guilt, they had caused Job to be unrighteous for their efforts. But he was willing to forgive them. I wonder how much God would be pleased if you and I would just confess to him, Lord, I've done wrong, I thought wrong, times may have been self-righteous. And have that unforgiving spirit, somebody done something to me, and maybe they shouldn't have, probably shouldn't have. But you're having a hard time coming clean with God and saying, forgive me, God, forgive me, and then forgiving that individual. Or if we could do that, what's the biggest God could say to you, to me? He's a perfect man, upright man, fears God. She's evil. You know what God's going to do in that case? Bless, bless, bless. And he'll use you to bless others. Altar is open. Would you please come? Brother Randy, have a song to sing. Then we have baptism. Altar is open right now. The most important time in the morning for you is to answer God when he's spoken to you. God has spoken to individuals this morning about unrighteousness in your heart, about lack of forgiveness in your heart, about maybe wavering, not being firm, not being established. Whatever he's spoken to you about, altar is open. Confess it. Acknowledge.